What's up, everybody? This is Jamie Josta from Hatebreed and Kingdom of Sorrow, and I'm here with Dom on MaximumThreshold.net.
Automatic defense procedures initiated.
What we've got here is...
maximum voltage. Maximum power. Maximum carnage. This is Maximum Threshold. Call the show at...
440-709-4977.
Maximum Threshold. And here's your hosts, Dom.
He's actually quite smart. He just makes errors of judgment along the way.
What's going on out there, good people? This is Dominic of Maximum Threshold Radio, and I got a really fun little show for you tonight. I got here some coverage here that Michael did at M3. Got some interviews for you. We're going to throw them at you. We're going to play some music for you. We're going to have the rock and metal news. And I got an interview here. Well, I got a really short one here with Bitsy. She was an actress as well. She was with... she played Supergirl. I think that's right. So that's really short. It's like a minute and a half long. It's pretty quick. I caught up with her at the Fan Expo Cleveland. And so I just talked to her for like a minute and a half or whatever. Just talked to her. So I'm going to throw that out there and let you guys hear what she's been up to. And then Michael has an interview with... John Allen from Child's Play and Lita Ford. And we got some other interviews that we're not just going to throw them all out at you at one time. But I just want to get these out to you so you guys can hear them, man. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted you guys to know that we haven't forgot about you. We still got this going. I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in, been listening to our coverage at Sonic Temple, as well as our upcoming incarceration coverage that we've been having. And everyone, for all the winners that's been participating in the contest that we've had for both of these festivals, man, we really appreciate you going out there and helping us promote it. The street teams and all that, you guys mean a lot to us, as well as to the Danny Wilmer and all, you know, the festival promoters. Because, we're helping them get the word out there for rock and metal and whatever kind of styles that are out there, keeping music alive. So, oh, man. So one of the big news is that was just going on is with the Stanley Cup playoffs. You have in Edmonton, Triumph sort of did this reunion at the game two. Last night, which was pretty cool, and Rick Emmett, you know, with a couple, you know, we got the original drummer back there with him, but they didn't get the bass player back because he was still back, I think, in New York or whatever. He was with Eddie Trunk, but they had other guys, you know, that fill in. They had Phil X on guitar with him and. Some other guys, yeah, but it didn't sound bad. You know, they played, you know, laid on the line because, you know, throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs so far, you know, they have been using the laid on the line as, you know, their go-to song when they're going into commercial break. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, Rick Emmett back out there in front of a lot of people. I like seeing that. You know, Rick has been a good you know musician his whole life. You know, he's been a great friend to us here at Maximum Threshold, and just a great guy, man. And wish the best for him. And I love to see the Triumph. You know, all the guys get back together. You know, the three of them to do it and do it right, because you know they're just phenomenal musicians. And just hope, you know, just get together, because you know we love Triumph, man. Yeah, so that's what I got to say on this. I'm going to get back here and just get this ball rolling over here for you guys. And get these interviews going. So we're going to start off with John Allen from Child's Play. Then we're going to play a song from them. And then we're going to go right into Lita 4. And you guys already know Lita's stuff. So, I mean, you know, Lita's been an awesome friend of ours for decades. And we go back many, 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 many moons with her. And she loves us. And, you know, we reciprocate the same. So there you go. And, you know, we have other interviews. Michael also, him and Shannon, they were there. They hooked up with Wolf Hoffman and Spread Eagle. So we got other interviews that we'll be bringing back to you. And this and that and another thing. Remember, I got the interview with Bitsy coming up. Okay, so take care. I'll see you guys. This is episode, I think, 607 here in the Maximum Threshold Radio Show. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in for this week. And I'll see you guys, man, on the flip. Horns up, fists in the air, baby. Woo-hoo! Hello, this is Dominic of Maximum Threshold Radio, and I have before me...
Bitsy Tulloch.
So how you been?
I'm doing great.
So what brings you over here to Cleveland?
Fan Expo Cleveland.
So how is your, so far, the expectations of being here?
It's been awesome. It's been very busy. I'm only here today, and the fans are enthusiastic, and I always love Fan Expo because they're really well run.
It's great. I saw it when I saw your name up here. I'm like, out of all the people here, you're the only person I've come over here to talk to.
Aw, well, thank you.
Being a Harvard grad and everything like that, and with the illustrious career that you've had, what are your plans coming up for this year?
Well, the next thing I have is I have a movie coming out called Nichols that comes out this spring. That it was a dramedy I did with Rob Riggle.
Okay, yeah. Great. And what's that's going to be about?
It's just a kind of weird, surreal dramedy. Yeah, indie film, yeah.
Nice. Is there a certain label that's going to be on or anything?
Well, Briarcliff is distributing it, and it's supposed to come out in theaters, yeah.
Nice. Is it going to be like a national, or is it going to be an international release?
I think probably domestic.
Domestic? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so how can people get a hold of you to follow you?
Most of my handles are at Bitsy Tulloch, and I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Newly, Snapchat, Threads, Blue Sky, and X.
Nice.
Yes.
Can you do us a quick favor?
What?
Can you do a promo ID for our radio show? Just say your name and you're listening to Maximum Threshold.
I'm Bitsy Tulloch and you're listening to Maximum Threshold.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey guys, this is Ron from YouTube's Rock and Metal News, and this is your Maximum Threshold Rock and Metal News Report. Mike Mangini, the former drummer of Dream Theater and his new band Monolith, have released the third single off their new album. The song is called Guru. You can check it out now on YouTube, pick it up on digital retailers and streamers. They previously released two other songs. One is Oligarchs and the other Mother Martyr. And the band has Hernan Motley Rodriguez in it, Andy Barrow, and Mike Mangini. Stay tuned for updates on a new album. Melodic death metal and power metal band called Worm and ex-Children of Bodom members have released a new song from their upcoming album, Band of Brothers. A lyric video for the song Band of Brothers is now on YouTube and digital retailers. You can pick up the song now. The new album will be out August 15th through Reaper Entertainment. The new band called Nefarious has released another song. The thrash band featuring Canton W. D. Penna from Hirax on vocals, Rick Hunnelt from Exodus, Doug Piercy from Heathen on guitar, Tom Gears from Blind Illusion on bass, and Will Carroll from Death Angel on drums. Their second single is out now. It's called Master Plan. You can check it out now. It's off their upcoming debut album called Addicted to Power. That's going to be out on July the 18th. Continuing with your MaximumThreshold.net rock and metal news, Evanescence are set to release another new collaborative song, this time with Kay Flay, titled Fight Like a Girl. You can check out a teaser now on X. And Evanescence vocalist Amy Lees recently also collaborated with Halsey. This new song will also be on the upcoming John Wick spinoff from the World of John Wick Ballerina movie, which opens Friday, June the 6th. So you can check that out. And Joel Hoekstra says the upcoming Whitesnake Experience concert will be an isolated show and nothing more. An exclusive performance by the band Whitesnake Experience will be with the members of Whitesnake, a project specially created for the Zajikar Guitar Festival in Serbia. This will be the only concert in the world featuring members of the legendary band Whitesnake, Hoekstra, Jelusic, Mendoza, drummer Tommy Aldridge, and keyboardist Michelle Lupi. And this will be a one-off show. And finally, Battle Beast. They will release their new and seventh album. It's called Steelbound. It's going to be out in October through Nuclear Blast. They released the official music video for the title track, Steelbound. Check that out on YouTube. Pick it up on digital retailers and streamers. And can't wait for this one. It should be good. And the title track composer, Yane, said, Steelbound is a song that is both heavy and light at the same time. It goes through the walls with a bang, both in terms of composition and lyrics, without forgetting the groove and the little twinkle in the eye. So that's cool. This is Ron from YouTube's Rock and Metal News with a Z, and this has been your Maximum Threshold Rock and Metal News Report. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, ready? Hey, everybody. This is Michael from Maximum Threshold. I'm here with John from Baltimore Legends Child's Play. How you doing, John?
Good, man. Good to be here.
So you guys just rocked the fuck out of the M3 stage.
Thank you.
And I know this is your backyard,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are kind of taking the torches, the Baltimore band, to play here now that M3 kicks. Doesn't have kicks anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you grow up like seeing them in the clubs and like sneaking in and going to watch them? Because obviously we're all younger than them.
Right. Well, so they, the first time I saw them, they were opening for Iron Maiden and Judas Priest at the Baltimore Civic Center, which is now called the CFG Arena. And I'd never seen them before, never heard them. They had just signed with Atlantic Records, and they blew me away because I loved how they seemed to combine all these genres of music that are probably really indicative of where we live in Maryland, right? Because they're from like further in Western Maryland. I heard like a little bluegrass in there, but then I heard punk rock in there. I heard Rolling Stones. I heard AC/DC. You know, so they were just phenomenal. And then Steve, you know, being this high energy, hilarious frontman with this stratospheric range. You know, they were a band that we looked up to for years. And so when we got started, we were able to open for them a bunch of times. And you're talking about being underage. I was underage, and we'd get to, you know, play with them. I remember one weekend down at this place called the Seagull Inn. On Friday night, we opened for Jim Dandy's Black Oak, Arkansas. And then the next night, we opened for Kix. And I think on the weeknight, I think my dad had to drive me home because I had school the next day.
So when you played with Jim Dandy, was Tommy still in the band?
Tommy
Aldridge.
No. This is way past Tommy Aldridge. I'd have been blown away. I was a huge fan of Tommy Aldridge.
I still am.
Yeah.
I'm a drummer. I'm not big on drum solos.
Right.
But Tommy's obviously been basically doing the same drum solo since the Ozzy tribute album, and I'm mesmerized every time.
I got to see him play with Whitesnake. They did a tour a few years ago, and it happened to play at the Silver Spring Fillmore here, and Tommy, and he did that solo, and it just blew me away again. You know, I think I'd seen him when Whitesnake was starting to blow up, and they were on tour with Motley. Cool. On the Girls tour, and he's just a monster back there. I love that guy.
Yeah, and they played here recently, like a few years ago. They were one of the headliners, and then they did the tour with Foreigner and can't remember who the third band was, but it was just like hit after hit after hit.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Whitesnake, hit after hit. Foreigner, hit after hit, and Tommy just killing it after all these years. And you know, as a drummer, it takes a toll on your body.
Yeah,
I mean,
it can.
I know he's sober guy now for a long time, and he's religious, and that's his thing, and that's cool. So he's living clean, but it still takes a toll on you.
Yeah, I mean, it can. If you play improperly, you know, you can wind up with carpal tunnel. I know a lot of guys that I've been fortunate to not have that. I did get tennis elbow at one point. I was playing in a band called SR71, and we...
Oh, you played in SR71?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Were you involved when Butch was involved with them?
Yeah. So, like, my history with them is kind of, like, it's kind of complicated, but, so, I've known Mitch, the lead singer, for years. You know, he was a roadie for Child's Play.
Yeah.
When he first, like, started. And, he wound up forming his band, and, he had asked me to play drums for him at one point, well before it was known as SR71, and I couldn't do it for whatever reason. So then, cut to a couple years later, he winds up, he's got record company interest from Arista Records, and he calls me one day and says, "Hey man, Dan, their then drummer, we just found out he has a defective valve in his heart, and he needs to have open heart surgery on, and now this is around Thanksgiving, he needs surgery on January 1st, and we've got this huge showcase in Nashville with this music conference that all these bands are coming to. I think it was called the Nashville Music Conference. It doesn't happen anymore. And he said, could you step in and fill in for Dan? He's like, it's not your gig, you know, it's still Dan's gig when he gets healthy again. And I was like, of course, man, you're my friends. You know, all the guys in the band I'd known for years. Like, and his guitar player was a guitar tech for Child's Play as well, for a little. But we went through a lot of guitar techs. I think our guys were a little temperamental, I guess. But so yeah, I felt good to kind of fill in for him, and I did. And we went into Nashville and it blew the fucking room up. And he wound up being a bidding war band. And it was really a unique experience for me because Child's Play wasn't that, and I'd always heard about these bidding war bands, and I got to be kind of involved, but not. You know, the pressure wasn't on me as much as it was on them, but I didn't want to screw it up for them. You know, I wanted to help them achieve it, and it worked. And then, you know, Dan came back for when he got healthy, and then about midway through their first tour, he became ill again. They thought he had mono, and I filled in, and they were like, "Yeah, that's it. You know, we need you. You're gonna join the band." So I joined during the first tour, and midway through that, we wound up on tour with Bon Jovi on his big comeback tour, "It's My Life."
Oh wow!
That huge hit. Yeah. So my first time in arenas, you know, regularly.
Yeah.
It's great.
Cool. Yeah, because I saw Child's Play.
Yeah, you have a Cleveland story.
Yeah, so back I was like 18, mm-hmm. moved out with my girlfriend. I was dirt poor, working a minimum wage job.
Right.
Her family had money. So, like, remember, records used to come out every Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Tuesday. I would, like, be like, I can buy one cassette a week.
Mm-hmm.
She would buy everything.
Oh, jeez.
And wow. I remember she got Child's Play. And then I remember hearing Rat Race.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because we used to go see so many bands. But right. Believe you sang on a tour, right? Did you?
Well,
the Rat Race tour. Didn't your singer quit or you kicked him out? And didn't I swear I saw you?
Where did you see us? At Flashes?
Flashes. And I could tell you your drum set. Yeah. I believe you had two bass drums.
Yep.
One rack time.
Yep. Yeah, that was
for a while there, I was like,
I gotta
play
setup.
Like that.
So that kit's the same basic kit, but yeah, with the I didn't have the extra kick drum out there. So yeah, so what happened there was, this is well after the Rat Race record. We had gotten a new singer. He was from Memphis, and we were supposed to embark on a Midwest tour. And it was gonna be Flashes, I think, was the second date. First date was supposed to be like Dayton, I think, and then Cleveland, and then Columbus. Mm-hmm. I thought it was four dates, but I can't remember where the fourth one was. Anyway, it might have been two days at Flashes. So the morning that we were supposed to leave, we had a band house, and I felt a cold draft under his bedroom door, and I was like, that's kind of weird. Well, me and Nick went downtown to get a rental car to drive out to, you know, the first date. And We get back to the band house, and the equipment truck is still there with the back open, and no gear is loaded in. And I'm like, they were supposed to leave like an hour or two ago. Like, we were leaving the night before. And we go in the house, we're like, what's happened? Our lead singer had jumped out the window of the first floor of this house and ran away to the bus station and took a bus, a 24-hour bus ride or more, back to Memphis to go home. He was homesick, and he's not having a good time of it with us, I guess. So we were like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? So we canceled the first show, and I think we wound up doing like the last two shows. And yeah, you saw me sing the whole set. And in fact, at that show, it flashes. We start the song, the set, like we did today, right, with good old rock and roll. And I do that long, come on down, doing my best Brian Jack, singing. And I'm singing it, and I'm playing the kit. And as I'm holding that long note, my peripheral vision starts going, and I'm starting to black out. Now, I've never passed out before, but my body started falling, and I remember just like, oh, I think I'm passing out. And my head, right as I was about to hit the hi-hat with my forehead, I pulled myself out of it.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. Like, I think I hit that note, like, perfectly. And my old vocal instructor said, like, sometimes if you hit a note, like, right on, like, you can, it's euphoric. And it was. I was like, I'm trying to play the song. Meanwhile, I felt like I was the highest I've ever been. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, because I had almost passed out. And it was a lack of oxygen. I don't know what it was, but it was a trip, man. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I'd never done heavy drugs in my life. And that.
Well, obviously, because you remember,
oh my God,
where you played at Flashes.
Yeah.
And that it was in Cleveland. Like, I don't drink or do drugs, so I remember this.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was cool, man. I mean, like, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, because I think you mentioned something about you just left and we're doing it anyways.
Yeah, like, I on one hand, I felt like I had to be honest with the audience. But the other hand, I needed shit to say to waste some time because we couldn't play probably an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes because, I don't know, at the time, I wasn't really a lead singer, so... I was just trying to get by, and it wasn't, unfortunately, it wasn't the first time I had to do that.
Yeah. And that forcing, pushing through, that's the beauty of rock and roll, man.
If you love it
and live it, you make it happen.
Yeah, man.
And so what's going on? Tell all our listeners, what's going on with Child's Play right now?
Well, we get together and we do M3 each year, and, hopefully they'll ask us back next year. And we do an annual show around Christmas time. This year I might move it up to September here in the Baltimore area. And we've had a French record label reach out to us. They bought the distribution rights for like a small quantity to re-release Rat Race in France on CD. And they reached out and asked if we wanted to put our second release that we did ourselves after we were dropped from Chrysalis. It's called Long Way. If we wanted to, couple that up with the CD and create a really nice package. So that's what we did. And there's a great booklet with the, it's got lyrics, it's got our biography in there. It tells the story about the band a little bit. It's on Bad Reputation Records. And so he put that out last summer. And so going through that, and we have, I went through our old demos. We had, before we did our debut major label record, the label hadn't heard all our material. So we went in, and we went in for 3 days at a recording studio here in Maryland and did a 19-song demo in 3 days, just played it live. Gave Brian like one take to sing, each song, and he just crushed it. I mean, it was just amazing. There are some parts of that demo that I feel like is better than our debut record. And so we just re-released that, and that's called Rat Race Reunions and Reissues. And we did that on CD. And that's available online and at the shows and stuff.
What's your like for the band that like you said it's Bad Reputation Records? What is like does the band have social media outlets that everybody can find you on?
Yeah,
and a website.
I think we're most active on Facebook right now. You know, we have a Twitter page, and I don't know if I open up an IG page or not, Instagram, but definitely Facebook. And it's probably at Child's Play Band. I should know this, right? But yeah, you can find us, you know, Child's Play Band, Child's Play Music, on there. And then Bands in Town also is a good resource to find out where we're playing and such.
And all the music's on all the streamers?
Yes.
For the most part, yeah.
Yes, for the most part. The Rat Races, Reunions, and Reissues has a few of the songs up there. I'm about to put the whole rest of the record up.
Do you guys have any online merchandise store that people can buy stuff from? Or?
We don't really. We are selling, there's a reissue of the Rat Race record on vinyl that is sold through PayPal, but there's very few left. So if you're going to get it, you got to get it right away. And that's on the Facebook page. We have copies out here at M3, and I imagine we're going to come close to selling those out.
So was the plan, if you guys got big, you know how Prince changed his name to a symbol?
Right.
And the record company had to send out a program with a special font?
Right.
Was your record company Chrysalis, right?
Yeah.
Were they going to send out a special font with the S turned around for you guys?
If
you
got really big? You know, somebody, there is some font out there that is like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to find it. Yeah.
Like the thing is, like, so this kind of music, it all gets lumped in as hair metal.
Right.
But really, it's just rock and roll with a different uniform,
yeah,
and a different hairstyle. And then you get, like, you know, they say grunge killed it, and this, that. I think what happened was some grunge is good. It's just a different type of rock and roll with a different uniform. But I believe that what happened was the genre almost ate itself because of all the record companies. I know you've been put through the grinder.
Right.
They took every band, good or bad, that was remotely popular, and all the good bands, like, I mean, there's, like, just an example for the M3, you got Spread Eagle and Child's Play. Really good bands, mm-hmm, really good songs.
Yeah.
But they, because the record companies just took everything, you get fourth, fifth, sixth waves of this music, and it's garbage.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it grunge killed it. No, they killed it themselves because the good bands are still active. And do you see a 2 or 3 day grunge fest like you see this music? No, because people love this music. It's it's fun, it's good, and the songs are good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate because you guys did release your albums towards the tail end of MTV.
We caught the tail end of the big club scene in Baltimore, and we caught the tail end of the like you said, of the record scene, you know, the hard rock, hair metal, whatever you want to call it, scene, right before grunge hit. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's unfortunate because, like, you think it's never going to end.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, like, I don't know what kind of advance you got, but I'm sure there was at least one guy in the band that had big dollar signs in his eyes, and he's ready to buy a sports car, a big house, and you know, you got to be the voice of reason to be like, no, we need to be smart about this. I'd be the guy with the dollar signs in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, you say that. So I had a publishing deal on the table before the record came out, and it would have netted me somewhere around, you know, 70 grand, right? Which back then was a lot of money. I could have bought a house around here and whatever. But I was like, nope, we're gonna be as big as Guns N' Roses. Big mistake, you know. Never take stock advice from me. And what was ironic about that, I didn't really love our record, and I still thought we were gonna be big, you know, like, you know, we were a really great live band. I could spin my drumsticks and throw them and catch them, It was a really entertaining show, but what was really important should have been the songwriting. I should have, you know, like, so, you know, I can blame record companies or whatever. I can blame the fact, like, one of these other interviews I did, I talked about, we were signed by the record label president, and then he got fired right when we were recording our debut album. So we were like, we were orphaned at our record label, and that happens a lot, you know. But we, you know, I take it upon myself. I accept like full responsibility for us not, you know, becoming a household name. You know, there were other things I probably should have been doing.
But you think of it this way too. Sometimes, like, you hear a song on the radio.
Yeah.
You see a huge hit, and it's not like professional jealousy or envy. Mm-hmm. We're like, this is terrible. But the record company put a ton of money behind him to get him out there.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is a lot of people will listen to whatever's forced down their throat over and over again. But it's harder to find the good stuff if you're a casual music fan. So sometimes, unfortunately, the record companies overlook the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you probably were thinking back in the day, yeah, like you said, we're going to be bigger than Guns N' Roses, but
if you got the push,
you would have been really popular. So, in essence, it's not all your fault.
Right? No, it's certainly the gatekeepers who deem, you know, whether, you know, you have a shot, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I was talking about that in another interview, and, you know, I think a lot of times we used to feel like if you got a song on the radio and the radio station was banging it 4 or 5 times a day, but, you know, within a month, people were going to start to like the song because of the repetition of it. But, you know, maybe that's the case. I don't know. I hear songs nowadays on the radio, and it'll be, you know, my wife will start to turn it off because she doesn't know what the song is. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, this is good. And she's like, I don't like it. I'm like, in a month, you're going to like this song. Trust me, because this is good. So, I don't know, you know, like, tastes change, and you just, you know, shit happens. You know, you can just go out and do the work and do as you know, much as you can, and hope, you know, hope for the best. And, you know, like I was saying in the other interview, there are a ton of bands that get signed or got signed back in the day, and either their A&R guy got fired or whatever, they lost their support system at the record label, and it just didn't happen, you know, for them. And there's just a million stories like that. The fact that anybody becomes really successful in this business is a fucking miracle.
Yeah.
You know, because think about it, like, I have a song idea and I take it to the band, they could fuck it up.
Yeah.
Then we take it to the producer, he could fuck it up. Yeah. The guy who mixes the album could fuck it up. Yeah. The mastering guy could fuck it up. And then after that, like, you know, then you give it to the record label, and they could fuck up the promotion. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a miracle.
Yeah, it's
if anything, yeah,
you need the hard work, a good song, mm-hmm. and a bit of luck. But yeah, like you said, it's all like, I'll give you an example. Like, I've always loved, like, I've always listened to Blow My Fuse.
Mm-hmm.
But the remaster of it.
Yeah.
Have you heard the remaster?
I don't think so.
It's called Reblown.
Okay.
My friend said, check this out.
Mm-hmm.
It went from a fun album
mm-hmm.
to an amazing album.
Yeah?
It will knock your fucking dick in the dirt, dude. It is,
I already thought it was amazing.
But listen to the remaster.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
Wow.
Like you said, little production, little knob twist here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by the way, I just want to say this because to the listeners, because, you know, obviously they can't see this.
Right.
When John said they would have been as big as Guns N' Roses, he was kind of smirking and laughing. So it wasn't a serious ego thing.
No,
you guys could have been a big popular band.
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid, right? And I thought, I thought, man, you know, we are going to be on, you know, on top of the world. You know, we got the world by the balls, man, yeah. You know? And it, you know, you just don't know. You know, you don't know what you don't know when yeah. you're young and dumb and full of thumb, right?
And you you know everything.
Yeah, exactly.
True enlightenment and wiseness isn't realizing you know nothing.
Right.
You know,
right.
You just
that's
hope,
where I am right now. I know nothing.
You hope you don't shit and piss yourself.
Right.
And that's, but, I mean, look at, we're still alive.
Yep.
We're relatively healthy.
Yep.
So I think that's successful, right?
Hell yeah.
You know, so I'm going to let you in go in a minute so you can enjoy the rest of the
all
festival.
Right,
I'm sure you have a million friends here.
Yeah.
You know, so one more time, tell everybody, well, we're not 100% sure, but... We're pretty sure it's at Child's Play.
Yeah,
Child Play Band on Facebook. He's going to look it up. Hold on. Do you need cheaters?
No. Damn you.
Child's Play. Yep, there it is, Child's Play. So check them out. And if you get a chance and there's some stuff available, everybody watch the videos, buy some music. They were a great live band. If I remember...
And we were down a man.
Let's see, what is it, 2025? That was like early 90s. So that was like 100 years ago. And I remember
92.
I remember that. So, you know, if you guys ever do a full tour ever or anything, make sure you check these guys out. They're a great live band, like you said. And the music's great. The songs are fun. I think you'll dig it, you know, because there's
great live show.
And great live show, and there's passion, you know. Yeah. So, everybody, check it out.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not Hey everybody, this is Michael with Maximum Threshold. And I've come full circle. The first interview I ever did here at M3 was with Lita Ford. It had to be 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I have to say, you looked great then.
Dang.
You look better now.
Oh.
You are aging in reverse.
Thank you so much.
Yes. My girlfriend's watching. She's like, I want to know her secret. I want to know her diet.
Oh, yeah. I eat a lot of greens.
Yeah.
Greens, veggies, fruit.
Yeah. Your voice sounds great.
Thank you.
Yes. So first of all, let's get it out of the way. Tell everybody what Lita Ford is up to.
Yeah.
And where we can find info.
Oh, Lita Ford Online Official. Okay. LitaFordOnline.com Official. So it's my website, and everything's on there, you know, down to my management and booking agents and tour dates and everything. Yeah. But we're always on tour. I mean, we tour our asses off.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing a few fun things in between, like, Mid-May, we're doing a horror con in New Jersey, which is a lot of fun. I love horror creatures. Yeah. And so we sign a bunch of autographs, and all these creepy people come down, and they have vendors, you know, at the booths where they sell cool stuff.
Yeah, and then you probably walk around and spend all the money you just got paid. What's your favorite, some of your favorite horror movies and horror creatures?
Oh, my God. Horror creatures. Jason. I mean, I love all the swag.
Yeah.
Jason swag. He's got some cool stuff. Chucky.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, creepy stuff. Of course, Linda Blair.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good exorcist movie.
Yeah.
You know? I know when Linda Blair's there, there's a line around the block.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think, like, so, like, someone said I'm kind of a psychopath because I watch these movies and laugh.
Oh.
But the real scary ones to me were like The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh,
the way it was filmed.
Yeah.
But like stuff like the Rob Zombie movies, even the newer Halloweens, they're kind of comical in a way because he's just so unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I was little, Gargoyles scared me. But now I watch it, the one that was on TV. And it's not as scary. It's almost campy.
You know what I hate? I hate dolls.
Yeah?
Hate dolls. When I was a little girl, my mother bought me this doll. It was like 4 feet tall. And she put it in the corner of my bedroom and it had these great big eyes. And those eyes were always watching me. And so I used to take off, you know, my shirt or my jeans or whatever, and I'd throw it over the doll's head so the doll would never have to see me. But I still hate dolls to this day.
But you love Chucky.
But I love Chucky.
So you're a little bit of your own yin and yang.
Yeah, I guess so.
I like the cut of your jib, Lita.
I guess so.
So, you know, like, I just watched the other day Swamp Thing. And it was every bit as ridiculous as I remember.
Oh, yeah, stupid movie, yeah.
With Adrienne Barboobs in
it.
And she's running around and
like,
wow. When we were kids, we thought she was good looking. It's like, she's a little scary. But
I think she had her day.
Yeah, she did. Like, I saw these videos of her when she's younger. It's like, she had some bad hair, but yeah, she wasn't bad. Like, and then she's in the Smokey and the Bandit when she unzips her top to try to get out of the ticket. And it's a woman cow. Oh, that was so good. So
that was one of the best movies.
Would you walk, when you're on tour, I don't know if you travel on the bus or you fly in, but do you make the crew and the guys in the band watch the horror movies with you, or do you just not watch them?
No. I don't watch too much on tour. As a matter of fact, I think the last movie I watched was Nosferatu.
Oh, the new one?
The new one.
How is it?
I love it.
Yeah?
I loved it. As a matter of fact, I watched it twice in a row because I was on a long flight over to London Heathrow from Phoenix. So it was a long fucking flight. But so I watched it twice, and I thought it was really well done, and I love Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He's great in everything, isn't he?
The actors in it are great. Yeah. And I'm not sure who they all are, but they're really tremendous.
And there was recently, another.
So watch it.
I'm gonna watch it. It's on my list. Like there was The Last Voyage of the Demeter, and it's a kind of a vampire movie, and it looked great, visually stunning. The previews and the trailer, it was awful. Don't waste your time on that one.
Really?
I was disappointed.
Oh.
I went to the theater and saw it. I was like, oh. But so
it sucks.
Are you working on any new music?
I have a new record. It's done. It's ready to come out. My problem is I don't have a record label for it. And, you know, the times have changed, and I didn't really want to just give it to a record label just for the sake of putting it out. I wanted a record label who was going to dedicate and their time to promoting the record.
Yeah. And push it.
And push it, exactly.
You know, I normally don't do much research for interviews because this is my music. I love this music, and I love music in general. But I looked, and I was shocked to find out that you are not in the Rock Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know the Runaway days are behind you, but you paved the way for so many, not just, you could go past the young girls and the women you inspired, everybody. I mean, just like,
thank you.
You guys were at the beginning of that, the rock and roll that had a little taste of punk in it, and but was still rocking. And it's a shame because I live in Cleveland, and I haven't really gone to the Rock Hall much because you go once a few years and you just think of who's not in there that deserves to be in there.
I know it. A lot of people say the same thing.
I mean, I'm sure that you're realistic and you're like, maybe I don't deserve to be in there as a solo artist. Although you are an icon, so you should be.
Yeah.
I mean, as a woman who paved your way, I mean, I know things are different now, but back then, who was doing rock and roll, hard rock? Nobody.
Yeah,
you.
I know,
mean, you could say heart, but they were more classic rock. They weren't as...
Yeah, they were different.
But you were like the vanguard, and if they didn't recognize that, the Runaways, they should have recognized.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw you here, I was interviewing you, and Cherry walked by, and you're like, it was a surprise. Are you still in contact? Are you still on good terms?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know there's not going to ever be the Runaways again, but...
No.
But you guys are friendly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
That makes me feel...
She will always be my lead singer.
Excellent. That's good to hear. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to see her, and she didn't tell me again. But oh my God, you ripped the shit out of this pavilion today. You guys tore it up. You sound fantastic. You look great. Like, what do you do when you're on the road? You said you're always on the road. What do you do for exercise to stay in shape, or is it just the diet?
I try to eat good. I mean, you know, there's always a bunch of stuff that slips its way into your diet. But try to eat good. Try to eat greens and fruits, and try to sleep, you know, whenever you can. And stay hydrated.
Yeah, drink lots of water, right?
Drink lots of water.
I mean, your skin looks great.
When I get home, I do everything I can to get back on track. And then we go out on the road again.
Yeah.
You know, I ride mountain bikes. I love my mountain bikes.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Arizona.
What's your address? I'm kidding. Sorry, I have to throw something funny in there. What part of Arizona?
I'm in the Superstition Mountains.
Okay. I've been out to Arizona a couple of times, and it's like, it's a dry heat. Well, tell a turkey when you throw it in the oven, it's a dry heat.
It's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's good. I don't know. It's good for me.
Makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you can sit in the shade and sweat.
Yeah.
And I'm good with a good sweat.
Yeah.
Like today.
Yeah.
At the pavilion.
Yeah, it's like this weird weather where it's cold, clammy, humid, gets warm, you know, and they're trying to weed out the wannabes and just leave the diehards left or something.
Well, the summer's coming.
Yeah. And you'll be on tour for the summer.
We'll be on tour, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, do you enjoy more doing, like, your solo gigs or, with the occasional festival? Or do you like doing the multi-band gigs where you get to see it, reconnect with old friends over the years?
Well, they're all very different. You're only
40. So, you know, you're very young when you first met these people. I mean, Lita looks... I know you're older than me, and I know you're not supposed to talk to women about this. I'm 52. I know you're at least 62. And you look at least 15 years, 20 years younger than me. That's fantastic.
You.
So, thanks. Like, you probably met these other bands when you were touring when you were like 2 years old. And it's got to be fun to reconnect with people.
Yeah.
And reminisce.
I mean, you know, the rock and roll world, it's like one big family.
Yeah.
For me. Because, yeah. You know, you kind of, like you said, when you first sat down, been full circle. Yeah. And I feel like I've been full circle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can... You just know everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really burned any bridges, so...
Yeah.
Everybody's pretty cool and pretty nice.
I've never heard an unkind word about you.
Oh, thanks.
Like, my friends are always like, oh, Lita's great.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I met Lita. We did an interview. She's so kind, so sweet. They're like, oh, she's the best.
Oh,
I've never heard anybody say a bad word about you.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm sure there's got to be one person that maybe you cut off in traffic at some point. Or jumped in front of the line at the grocery store.
Yeah, you know? Always. Yeah, fuck the grocery store. I hate that place. Like, nobody cares. I mean, you know, it's a grocery store, so... Yeah. I think, you know, I'm happy to be in the music industry.
Making music. We need to wrap this up. You have a few more interviews.
Yes, okay.
Thank you for your time.
One more
time, Lita. Tell everybody where to find all the information about you.
Okay, LitaFordOnline.com official.
There you go. Go check out her tour dates, buy some merchandise, and go buy concert tickets.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You came to rock, but there's no time. just listened to Maximum Threshold Radio Show. Airs live every Saturday night, 8 p.m. until whenever the fuck they shut up. So tune in.
It is pointless to resist.